I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Managing Cyber Risk, a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series brought to you by East Centire, the authority in managed detection and response. Joining me today is Tia Hopkins, Field CTO and Chief Cyber Risk Strategist at East Centire. Tia, welcome. It's so great to have you back on the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure.
Let's start off with what we'll be discussing today. Want to take us through that?
Today, we're going to be discussing a topic that I am pretty passionate about, and it is the role of cyber risk quantification in the overall risk management process, and more specifically, how a more dynamic approach can improve the accuracy and overall cybersecurity program effectiveness within organizations.
So there's certainly a lot to unpack within the concept of dynamic risk quantification. So I guess let's start with the basics. Tia, what's the goal of risk quantification in general?
I think at a high level, it helps really bridge the gap between executives and practitioners. And the way that occurs is essentially by assigning a business value to the risks that are identified within the organization. And typically that business value is a financial value so that a security leader or a CISO is not taking things like infrastructure projects or security technology projects and presenting those things to executive leadership that won't really resonate in terms of what's important to the business and appropriate areas to provide, whether it's human resources or financial resources to improve the effectiveness of the cybersecurity program. So it really does provide a way to land or align on a common language which these things are addressed.
I guess, what are some of the challenges that CISOs and security leaders are facing when it comes to quantifying risk, thinking about different things, definition of risk, metrics, et cetera?
There are a number of things. I think going back to the executive part of it, there has to be executive buy-in. And I think my definition of that is a little different than what it was several years ago when executive buy-in was even understanding that cybersecurity is a business problem, right? It's not an IT problem. But what that looks like today, and as it relates to risk quantification, is executives or business leaders' boards have to basically define what the organization's risk profile is, what's the risk appetite, what are, you know, levels of risk tolerance, et cetera, so that security teams and security leaders can go out and make decisions around the appropriate approaches to take when quantifying and addressing the risk that's uncovered. So that's one of the primary challenges. But in addition to that, it's really understanding what good looks like. It's hard to standardize when every environment looks different. Organizations have different priorities. Architectures are different, right? So what does good look like? What do you baseline yourself against? And then that leads to metrics. How do you measure? What are the key performance indicators when you're looking to say, are we doing the right things? How can we improve or even demonstrate that we're getting better and reducing the risk as we're quantifying it over time?
And so, Tia, what are some of the approaches security teams are currently using to quantify risk? Are there gaps in these approaches?
There's lots of approaches. I find that many of them are qualitative in nature versus quantitative, to be clear. And the challenge with qualitative risk quantification is that there's a lot of guesswork involved. You think probably likely this thing is going to happen. It's a lot of finger in the wind. There's unreliable rankings like high, medium, or low, or numerical scores based on some set of qualitative data. It just makes it really difficult to understand the accuracy of it. And then in addition to that, if you layer on top of that approach, digital transformation, the fact that users are working from everywhere and data is everywhere, and then you think about emerging threats and how to compensate for the things that we can't see, and then third-party risk and sometimes the black box that presents, qualitative gets really, really challenging. And so those are some of the gaps in those approaches. But when you take a more quantitative approach, it does get you down to a level that at least allows you to apply some sort of value to it, or some sort of metric that's measurable and flexible and can be influenced by external factors that may be dynamic in nature or maybe unknown in nature and then become known. So taking a more quantitative approach is the route that I recommend.
And so where does dynamic risk quantification fit into all of this? Does this help solve, you know, the problems that you've mentioned so far?
I think it doesn't solve all the problems, right? There's always going to be challenges. I like to say that in this industry, we will never be looking for work. And this is one of the reasons, right? Because things change every day. But when it comes to risk quantification and taking a quantitative versus qualitative approach, the dynamic nature of it makes it more flexible, like I was mentioning before, to include those external factors that historically haven't really been included in some of the more, I would say, static approaches like point in time assessments that we've been performing in our organizations. And so what I mean by that is, say, for example, I perform a risk assessment and I have this set of assets and I assign this financial value to them. And I think the frequency of an event is going to be this often. And then I come out with a dollar amount and I decide whether it's worth applying a compensating control. That's a snapshot at this point in time. And there's a lot of factors that haven't been taken into account, like what does my digital footprint look like? And how susceptible does that make me to attackers? Does my industry make me more susceptible at one point in time over another? How am I keeping up with how changes to my infrastructure impact the risk that I've assessed in my environment? So you do want to take a more dynamic approach. And then on the other side of that, you want to be more dynamic in cadence. So when you study for exams or read research on best practices in terms of leading a cybersecurity program and the things that go into that, typically you see risk assessments performed once a year, maybe twice a year. But we all know that the threat landscape evolves much, much more quickly than that. And so being dynamic in approach, like I was saying, to include those external influencers, as well as dynamic in cadence, right? Assessing your environment more frequently, making sure you're incorporating lessons learned as you're quantifying this risk is really important.
And so what does dynamic risk quantification involve? And I'm thinking about, you know, how can security teams shift to this type of approach?
That's a great question. So regardless of the approach that you take, when you quantify your risk, you first have to identify your risk. And what that comes down to is identifying the sources of value in the environment. And that doesn't just mean technology. It doesn't just mean, you know, servers or technical assets. Sources of value, anything that can bring value or generate revenue for an organization. So that can be people, process, and technology. So you want to identify all those sources of value, and then you want to identify the risks to those sources of value. So what are the bad things that can happen to that or to those sources of value that have been identified that can impact my organization's ability to produce or generate revenue or provide value or service customers, whatever that looks like. And some things that you can consider there, many organizations should have at the very least a vulnerability management program. So you can leverage vulnerability data to influence those decisions around critical risk impacting those sources of value, as well as threat intelligence, right? What are some of the techniques, tactics, and procedures that attackers are leveraging? And are the assets or sources of value in my environment susceptible to any of those things that have been identified? And then once you've identified your risk, then you can quantify it. And so that comes down to things like estimating the frequency of events, estimating the severity of events. And there's lots of approaches you can take to this and lots of inputs to consider. So from a frequency perspective, you can leverage things like the investigations that are occurring within a security operations center, whether that's internal or outsourced. You can look at your assets in terms of probability of breach. Based on everything I know about these assets or sources of value, what's the probability that there will be a breach against this source of value? And attacker motivation is another one, right? As you're doing industry or performing industry research and reading articles and paying attention to breaches, does it look like your industry is increasing in terms of the volume at which attackers are targeting it? And when it comes down to severity, you can consider things like incident response. And it doesn't have to be internal, but this is not to imply that all organizations will have incidents where they need to declare breach and incident response teams need to be involved. But pay attention to what's going on in the industry as well. And again, back to threat intelligence. So when an industry breach occurs, there's lessons to be learned from that also. You know, where did they make a mistake? You know, was it a misconfiguration? Was it a specific security technology that had a vulnerability within it that was exploited? All these things can be leveraged to make the risk quantification process more dynamic in nature, like I was saying before, and that does drive accuracy as well.
Besides having a more accurate perspective on organizational risk, what are some additional advantages to or outcomes of this approach?
I think that when teams shift to a quantitative approach that is dynamic in nature, like I was saying before, it does improve accuracy. It improves overall security program effectiveness because it gives leaders the ability to demonstrate how they're reducing organizational risk over time, which positions them well to have an easy story to tell to executives around where they need additional spend or what are the things that should be prioritized, because prioritization is key in all of this. I didn't really touch on it much, but when you quantify risk, it also gives you the ability to prioritize the things that you need to address versus trying to boil the ocean or attacking too many things at once. And I think the last point I'll make, there's lots of advantages, but the last point I'll make here is when you quantify the risk in your environment and assign a dollar value to it, not only can you communicate with your executives, but it also gives you a sense of how much coverage you might need if you're pursuing taking on cybersecurity insurance. But also when you have insurance, it gives you the ability to demonstrate your risk profile and how you improve that over time to your cybersecurity insurance provider, and maybe stands to improve your premiums a bit also.
Tia, any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience as we wrap up this episode together?
Yeah, thanks. I think just, you know, taking a step back and really considering the desired outcomes of the security program as it relates to risk, and then aligning that with business outcomes. You know, cybersecurity is a business enabler. And yes, we're here to protect organizations' assets and crown jewels and things like that. But we also need to make sure that we're aligning with the needs of the business and enabling the business to continue to operate and move forward. So when you're approaching risk quantification for the purpose of reducing organizational risk, you want to prioritize those things that are not only going to best protect the organization. And what I mean by that is, you know, prioritizing the worst threats posed to the organization to attack those first. But you also want to make sure that continues to allow the business to function the way that it needs to function. So the age old thing that we have to balance, right? Security versus functionality. So just wanted to have everyone keep that in mind as well.
Wonderful. Well, Tia, as always, such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, as always.
Thank you. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. The Managing Cyber Risk podcast series is brought to you by eSentire, the authority in managed detection and response. eSentire's mission is to hunt, investigate, and stop cyber threats before they become business-disrupting events. Combining cutting-edge machine learning XDR platform technology, 24/7 threat hunting, and proven security operations leadership, eSentire mitigates business risk and enables security at scale for over 1,000 organizations globally. To learn more about our sponsor, visit eSentire.com.